Hello, and welcome to Manga Splaining, the show where we recommend great manga to folks who haven't read much manga before. Hosted by Deb Aoki, Christopher Woodrow Butcher, Chip Zdarsky, and myself, David Brothers, follow along with our show notes and reading list at mangasplaining.com. And I completely botched the intro again. I'm going to blame the Invisalign that I've had for the past 22 weeks making me talk funny.
You were on such a good streak, too.
Yeah, right? I had, my vanity really sabotaged me on this one. But we are here today to talk about Baki by Keisuke Itagaki. It is a battle manga in the truest sense. It's something we haven't really talked about much on... Actually, correction, it's something we haven't read much on Manga Splaining, but we have talked about a lot, made tons of comparisons to other manga in terms of like battle mangas this way, battle mangas that way. And for my money, Baki is one of the most enjoyable battle manga and also one of the purest. There's not a lot of like fluff and characterization padding things out.
that pesky characterization getting in the way.
Dialogue, disgusting. But my introduction to Baki was actually through the anime. There were some original video animations in the late 90s. 1994 is when it was made in Japan. I think it hit over here a few years later. And it was one of the craziest anime I saw as a kid. Like, even with Akira, with Fist of the North Star, Baki was the one where someone fought by, like, yanking on someone else's nerve endings and, like, doing stuff, like, with organs. So it's always stuck in my mind as a thing where... it's very over the top. And when I revisited as an adult, I was surprised that it's still very over the top, but like much more consciously over the top than I thought it was when I was a kid. I thought it was kind of like a Rob Liefeld, it's just out of proportion because it's out of proportion thing. So I wanted to bring it to the podcast because it's very straightforward. Like, if you aren't into this kind of manga, you probably won't like Baki. But if you like these kind of action scenes, this kind of like non-toxic hyper-masculinity, to try to coin a phrase.
All right.
Yeah, I'll get Chris's opinion on that in a little bit. I think Baki has a lot going for it. So, let's start with Chris. Christopher, what do you have for us on Baki?
I need you to pull apart non-toxic hyper-masculinity before I answer, because there's some toxicity that I have detected in this first volume. So I would love to hear what you're talking about.
I would say the non-toxic aspect is through Baki himself, who is mostly motivated by competition. Like, can I beat this guy? Is it possible to beat this guy? Can I improve myself and like go to the next level? Well, everyone he fights are mostly, murderers in this volume. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't position Baki as the only way to be a man, just the strongest way to be a man. And that's like a storytelling thing I think is kind of interesting. And as the series goes on, you meet Baki's father, who is drawn like an actual demon. Like, the subtitle of one is Baki, Son of Ogre. And the best advice he has for his son is have sex with your girlfriend as soon as possible because love will make you a stronger fighter. Which is not the kind of lesson that you would expect from a series that looks like this. That like love is, what keeps you moving along. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with the non-toxic hyper-masculinity. It's not necessarily... it's tough guy stuff, and it's very macho, but it's not macho in the sense that, like, the Punisher or something like that is macho.
Interesting. Chris, counterpoint.
Yeah.
Not like I am. So, this is maybe a situation, my good friend, where you having taken in a lot more of the media that is Grappler Baki has changed your perception somewhat from what is in this volume, because this is trash. Like, this is the most excessive, like, manga version of trash cinema that I've actually read. Like, this is trashier in every single way than the previous series, which I actually had read from Raijin, published Grappler Baki, the first series. They published, like, four or five volumes before they went under, like, a decade ago, time ago. Time is meaningless. And, yeah, man. It's just, I read the second volume because I was like, I gotta give David the benefit of the doubt here and just keep going. And it's fine because each volume reads in like 5 minutes. So it was like real easy. I'm glad this was a Comixology Unlimited title. Wow. Like, and this is like metatextually trash. Like, this is like buying grainy VCD rips of like Asian, like, revolution cinema from the 90s, and it's like you can't quite tell what's going on all the times. Like my first volume of Baki is like misaligned, so like the whole page is shifted up like an inch, I guess.
Oh, yeah, the cropping on Kindle is bad.
Yeah, so the cropping on the Kindle version, I've got an extra inch of like black space at the bottom, and then the tops of the word balloons and the whole pages are cut off. Like it's like an artifact that someone like snuck out of whatever from wherever it came and like badly photocopied it and turned that into the Kindle version. It is like there's no redeeming ideology in the first two volumes. It is just literal murderers escaping from prison by murdering as many people as they can to come to Japan to fight Baki so they can murder him. And that's the plot. Like, that's the plot of two volumes. In the second one, there's an actual fight instead of just murdering, you know, people that happen to get in your way. It's like, oh, well, it's just, you know, cops who've been incarcerated people. He's like, no, they murder the guy who's trying to sell him a Nikuman at the, like a bun full of meat at the convenience store. Like, they're just murdering indiscriminately. And it's very good for what it is. It's very, very good for what it is. But there is, to my mind, literally no higher purpose in these two volumes that I've read. And I'm trying to think back to the, you know, 15 years ago, whatever it was from Wonraijin, and the five volumes that I read there, and there was no higher purpose there. It was literally just like, I am glad that you have found something in this that is deeper. I have not. And it's not to say that it is a bad manga, but it is trash. It is the definition of like trash cinema, of like trash pulp, like pulpy paperback manga that you don't want your parents to see. That is my take on Grappler Baki,
yeah,
volumes 1 and 2. But God bless you, I'm glad you found something else in it.
I love that after 80 some episodes I finally broke Christopher.
Oh no, I read the second volume. I'll read the third. It's apparently free, but it's just to see an interesting way in which someone gets their ass murdered.
Yeah,
it's just like I would agree that was that, it to me. It was like the iterative murder. It was like, oh, that's very creative the way that they murdered this person. Mm-hmm. Oh, that wasn't as creative the way they murdered this person. You just get to you cut to a reaction shot and they're just a smear on the ground. Sure.
Yeah. But like, I mean, you say it doesn't have a higher purpose, but like,
Chip, did you have a rebuttal?
Well, I'm interested in the idea of a higher purpose because, you know, we read something like Raw Hero, and I guess there's a higher purpose in Raw Hero that he's doing this for his, like, little brother or whatever, but
it's thin.
I mean, this does away with the artifice of that, I think.
There's no artifice there, yeah.
There's just like, no, you're going to love watching this kid, the 17-year-old, fight who's these just absolute jacked monsters. This is like, I know I've used this example before, Mark Miller, who wrote like a lot of Marvel books and Image books, and now he's trapped at Netflix. This, so much of this reminds me of like the best parts of Mark Miller.
Oh, I could see it.
Because like Mark Miller always goes for the thing where he's just like, to prove somebody is smart or strong or whatever, he always casually drops the most extreme thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like his version of Tony Stark, like gets off a jet drunk and goes, oh, in the last 2 minutes, I solved quantum mechanics while drunk and high, and I just changed the world in like the last 3 minutes. Like, it's that kind of thing where it's just like, wow, it's so extreme and he's so smart. And you've showed us that like so quickly. And this is like that, like these murderers are just the craziest things I've seen on a page in a long time. I mean, the drawings are like grotesque and beautiful in equal parts. Like it's
yeah.
Another name that I mentioned here before is Trad Moore. Like this is some of these bodies are just so Trad Moore. And I actually laughed out loud several points at just the decisions made in this book, the focus. And once I realized, sorry, I guess I'm going now. Once I realized that this whole volume was just Baki sitting there in his school with this guy, and the guy just is telling him about synchronicity, and like it's just all these bad dudes through the whole volume. The fact that it goes on in volume two just makes me laugh even more. The fact that he brought in like C4 into the school as well to talk about his example is also hilarious. There are so many funny things in this book. Deb, you're muted.
No, I was just mouthing and going like, yeah, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, no, it's it's so over the top, and there's so many pages and drawings where I'm just like, I'm delighted at the weirdness of it. Like, even the chapter titles. Like, I hit this chapter title, which is just Baki showing off his grotesquely muscled arm, just mm-hmm. showing it to you with a smile.
Yeah. Like, half of those are referenced from real life photos, by the way. Like, there's definitely one of him doing the boxing pose, like the boxing pose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally know it because, like, I talked about, I did a thing on my newsletter this week where I talked about my early days of doing comics and trying to do sample pages, and I would buy bodybuilding magazines to, like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
why
get the reference. Well, I didn't even realize until, like, I remember buying them, and I'm like, okay, and I kind of doodle Batman over, like, a bodybuilder, and then, like, when I get to the back of the magazine, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of videos for sale here. Just, like, bachelor party videos of just, like, guys in pools bouncing beach balls. I'm like, what is this? That's when I realized, oh, I know what the target for these magazines are. But, yeah, like, this is such a just, like, a ludicrous drawing of a teenager. At the look on his face, just like, oh, just a casual, like, oh, I'm looking at you and showing you my insane arm. It's just so funny. I enjoyed this very much, and I relished in the weird violence and the weird phrases like the strong is the beautiful.
Strong is the beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Just on a page for no reason with no design. Yeah. Oh god. Even just this drawing of the one guy in which his butt has inhaled the pants.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Because these are all just like choices you make. And the choices in here are just so wild. I love it. I just love it.
I like that both of you are on kind of opposite ends of the spectrum, because it's exactly what I was talking about, where if you like stuff like this, this would be up your alley. And if you're not into it, it would be almost repulsive in a way, because it's so what it is.
Yeah. But so cartoony too, that I can't even see it as being repulsive. Like, if it was realistic looking, I might be like, oof, I don't know. But like these
I didn't
caricatures.
Dislike this. I feel like maybe I have not been clear. I didn't dislike this book, but I have no pretensions about what this book is. Like, no. The strongest beautiful is like literally the thinkingest that this book gets. It's just like, what if people were just like kept getting stronger and you kept finding new muscle groups to work out somehow and then drew them all. Yeah, I think Tradmore is an awesome comparison. But we haven't heard from Deb yet.
Yeah.
I am stoked.
I would love to know whether Deb liked it or not, let alone what she thought of it.
Well, obviously, not my first choice for how to use my Comixology Unlimited credits. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I had heard about Baki for many, many years. It was one of those books that everybody talked about, like, why isn't there a legal version of this? And oh my God, it's so amazing. And oh my God, it's so crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wasn't incented to go look up the illegal versions to see what people were talking about, right? I did a manga panel at Comic-Con, and Daihei Shiohama from MediaDo said, oh, we're going to do Baki, so can we announce it? And I went, sure, yeah, let's announce it at the panel, because you have no, you know, industry panel, and let's go ahead and do it. Let's see what happens. And yes, people got excited, and then people were less excited because the translation wasn't so hot. But I remember reading the first two chapters and stopping. And going, okay, here we go. Not my thing. Mm-hmm. Later, bye. So this is the first time I've read the entire first volume. I got to say, like, maybe what's kind of coming up for me is because immediately before reading this, I was reading two other series that are kind of well known for their over-the-top violence and battle drama, which is Solo Leveling, which is a webtoon, and Kaiju Number 8.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now, what's interesting about the two and the difference between that and Baki is that in Kaiju Number 8 and Solo Leveling, the enemies are all monsters, right? So, yeah, go ahead and dismember them, right? And yes, of course, they're going to come back from the dead when you think you've killed them, right? Makes tons of sense, because who knows what the logic is for monsters, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Baki, on the other hand, it's like, wait. How is this guy who was hanged come back to life? Wait. How does this guy who wasn't the electric chair shake it all off and go, next?
Like, martial arts.
Deb, they're martial just arts. That strong.
And evil.
Evil.
And evil.
Because apparently evil is its own immunity potion. I don't even know. But like some of it, like, you know, if you kind of relax and, you know, breathe into it, like the Las Vegas-ness of it all. Mm.
That's actually a really good. This is a little bit the Las Vegas of manga. Mm.
The Las Vegas of manga.
Like, just don't take this shit so seriously, because why should you, right? It wasn't there to be taken seriously. So the part where the guy like whispers in the guy's ear, and the next panel he's blown his brains out the other ear, like so much ear snot. Like, what?
Yeah, that's so great.
That's so inventive.
Yeah.
And yet so impossible. I'm going to roll with this. I'm just going to give him props for coming up with the most amazing ways to kill people, injure people, and take people to what you think is the brink of death and have them snap their head around and go, psych, sucker.
It's not just the creative ways of killing people. It's also like when they discovered that guy escaped up the shaft, which is the slightest pieces of rust in his fingers. Like,
I mean, the thought that goes into this, right? Like, it's just always a surprise, because you think there's no way this is possible. And it isn't. But he just leans really hard into it, and he just has fun with it.
Yeah, they're also like, I mean, it's telegraphed in the sense that they're all 10 feet tall. Like, these are clearly, like, the world we're in, clearly, the normal rules don't apply here.
They all have muscles like they have balloon animals, right? Yeah. all their muscular parts are just like twisted balloon animals, like tubes. It's like, it's a very unique style.
Yeah.
I love it. We have such a good spread of opinions on this one, I think. I definitely want to get back to what Chip said when he said it's grotesque, and also what Deb said when it's very Las Vegas-y. But one thing about this that's actually unique for me is I'm generally like a comics over animation guy. If there's an adaptation of a comic, I usually like the comic more.
Mm.
But in this case, partly because of what Christopher and Deb mentioned about the translation and the formatting, the Netflix anime for Baki is actually a little more fun than the manga for me. It's like the translation's a little better. The tops and bottoms of the screen aren't cut off, which is very irritating. Which they've updated on volume one for Kindle, and hopefully they'll do the rest down the line. But it sounds like the Comixology version might still be messed up. So
yeah.
Reader beware, perhaps. But so grotesque. Years and years ago, when I was like kind of a baby comics journalist, a friend of mine, this writer named Jeff Clock, wrote an essay about the grotesque in art and how it doesn't mean ugly, it means out of proportion.
Yeah.
And it really sort of shifted my perception of the grotesque and kind of what it brought to the story and the storytelling. And the way everyone in here is 10 feet tall and muscles on muscles on muscles, it kind of works like in Chainsaw Man, how he's this like raving, like sketch of a character who's murdering things, and you don't think it's that bad because he's not as human. And I think this has a very similar effect where like, these guys actually have muscles on muscles. Like it's like a joke about Popeye or superheroes, but they all look like Bane in various ways.
Yeah.
And there's something really fun about that, I think.
I almost see a comparison to some of the drawings of people in this to like kind of Tom of Finland stuff. Like just enough over the top, and like,
yeah,
the rendering is just kind of like such to really make all these elements kind of pop. Yeah. And here it's that version of grotesque that I mean, like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just over the top. Like even just like the regular people, like their legs are 2/3 of their body and the pants are just like a whole other thing. Like the pants are just like
almost garbage bags on each leg.
Yeah. They're like weird symbiote creatures or whatever, even on like a guard. Like it's all the style choices in this are so distinct. And I guess that's why I like it so much. The fact that like there's nothing else like this. Like there've been a few kind
there's
of
nothing else like this that you've read.
That I've read.
I would
agree
with Chip and say there's nothing else like this, because the things that are similar to this aren't as good. Like they're kind of
Have you read like Worst or Crows?
Yeah, I've read Crows. I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
Record of Ragnarok's the more recent one that's like
this isn't like an iconoclastic series. This comes out of like, it's halfway between like a teen Japanese street gang manga and a battle manga. And I think it does a lot of things really, really well. It's why Baki's Baki. That's why, like, most of the weebs, when you say, oh, we're going to read Baki, they're like, oh, I wonder what they're going to think. Oh, my God, when that guy's face got crushed. like it is not out there alone.
Just to be clear, I'm referring to the art style. I'm not referring to, like, I'm sure there's a lot of books like this that are just like murder extravaganza. But, like, I don't know of any artist that draws a fist like that. Like, that's just like almost cubist.
That is grotesque. Yes,
it is grotesque. And, like, even this is one of my, this might be one of my all time favorite pages in a comic.
The swimming,
like the swimming, like just the choice to be like, to take up 2/3 of the page with an extreme close up of this guy swimming. And it's almost all just like teeth and just those weird lines and his like half lidded, beautiful eyelashes. Like, it's all, it's amazing. This is an amazing book. Might be my favorite book. I can't tell.
Love it. You're only reacting to me pulling it apart. And you're like, no, now I like it more, actually.
That's what always happens on these episodes.
Yeah, I always end up liking any book more, even if I start off not liking it. But this one I came into liking it a lot. And, like, the more I'm looking at them, I'm like, oh, man, like, what amazing, like, line work here to that I just haven't seen before. And I think that's...
Yeah.
I get so bored now, I think, with a lot of comic art, whether it's North American or even a lot of the kind of the manga we read, where it's just clearly like a studio pumping out a thing with styles that are kind of indistinct, or just the photo backgrounds. Like, this is not that. This is clearly like the feeling of like one creator. Even if they have assistants, like they're all on board with like with this.
It's so specific and weird.
This feels like art.
Five dudes in a room, chain smoking, cranking out these pages 30 a week. Yeah.
It sounds awesome. I feel you.
Yeah.
And that grotesquerie relates to Deb's Las Vegas feeling, where like anything goes, and if it goes, it goes to the limit no matter what.
Yeah.
Because something I really like about Baki is actually outside of the book. It's that the guy who created Baki, his daughter is the person who draws and writes Beastars. Which also has a very singular style. Like, they don't draw like each other, but they both draw weird, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, no kidding.
So distinctive, right? Like,
it
ignores any how to draw manga book out there. It ignores what is the hot style to draw in, which makes all the isekai manga look pretty much indistinguishable from each other. This is a very individualistic style of visual storytelling. And for that, I have to applaud.
Yeah.
That's not easy.
I didn't notice those weird knuckles that Chip pointed out on page 84, I think. Yeah. But it's totally right. Like, there's just... it feels like there's passion behind the page. Like, it's so weird in such a specific way that it feels like this is what this person really wants to do. And somehow, like, they found an audience that would support it. Because this is the sequel series to the original. Like, there's Grappler Baki. There's New Grappler Baki, which is what we have. Baki Hanma, and then Baki Do, and then another Baki Do. Like, it's kind of ridiculous.
Wait, does Baki stay 17 the entire time?
He ages up slowly, maybe. He's not like a Kosaku Shima type. Yeah, that would be amazing if it was. But he's mostly like, you know, like late teens, early 20s kind of a guy. But the strongest fighter in the world.
This is weird for me, right? Because I didn't read the first series, so there's no buildup to me to have me understand why everyone's so afraid of Baki, right?
Yeah.
It's like, he just looks like a kid with a bunch of scratches on his face, and I'm like, okay.
That's the toughest look for a kid to possibly have.
I guess.
Yeah. It's the aura.
So you start with this volume, and you're just like, everyone's afraid of Baki, and he's just sitting there in a chair. And that's all he does for literally the whole volume. Learns about synchronicity and C4, while other people just murder people in his name to try and get to him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real Poochie vibe to this volume. Like, everybody's like, when Poochie's not on screen, everyone should be talking about Poochie, wondering what he's doing. He should just be effortlessly cool at all times. Like, real Poochie vibes, this first volume.
I wonder if this came out around when Poochie debuted in The Simpsons. That'd be kind of amazing, actually. But also, it's like, it is not Actually, I don't think there's a bad place to start Baki, because it's not like there's a lot of continuity to keep track of. But yeah, it does throw you into the deep end. You know, it says all Baki wants is to win.
I mean, it's a kind of like starting JoJo's from the Stardust Crusaders instead of reading the first arc, or no?
Yes. It's yes, but actually, yeah, I'll just go with yes. I know too much about JoJo's. It's more or less the same kind of thing. Or it's more like picking up Spider-Man with like part two of the Tom Holland stuff, where he's already been established as Spider-Man, and for some reason Tony Stark is dead and all this other stuff is going on.
Yeah.
It's like there's stuff Spoilers. You have to pick up on. I mean, nobody likes Tony Stark, right? That should be a gift.
Au contraire.
People love
that. I mean, Iron Man readers hate me because every time I throw Tony Stark in one of my comics, he's like a total asshole and everybody gets to beat him up. I'm like, well, if I was writing Iron Man, I'd write him different, but I'm bringing him into Daredevil.
Yeah. But Deb, the Las Vegas aspect of this, can you expand on that a little bit more? Are there other manga you think have that similar kind of feel?
Well, obviously JoJo's, right? JoJo's is over the top, batshit crazy battle, mm-hmm. right? Like we're going to do whatever we feel like doing, and, you know, physics, logic, history be damned. We are just going to propel the story forward, and you're going to just go along with it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's delightful that way. Like, and Fist of the North Star is a little bit like that too, right? It's like, it's going to be crazy, but you are down with this, you know, people, you want this. Mm-hmm. But I will say that one thing that strikes me about reading Baki is, and maybe I'm wrong, and there's a boy's love about everything, but it seems like this is made distinctly with the male gaze in mind. Like, there is probably no female lust happening here for any of these characters. And I say that because, like, you know, Tokyo Revengers is violence, but the guys are hot. Mm-hmm. And, like, JoJo's violence, but they're kind of gorgeous in a weird way. This one is like, no, they're just all ugly and macho, and they're gonna beat each other up, and their eyes are kind of facing in the wrong direction.
It's martial arts.
So I'm not even sure what to do with this. So it's like, oh, this, like, my Fujoshi meter is like going. Like, there's nothing happening.
If Deb can't jerk off to it, she's not going to read it.
Wow.
Classic.
I recognize that I'm not
the target audience. It's pretty sexless in general, I think, even with like the big
sex. It's so sexless. There's a page where someone's doing like nearly nude full kick splits situation. I'm like, where is his dick? Come on. This is worse than Marvel Comics. Like, it is. I'll put it in the show notes, but like, it's. It is so, that's the other part of it. Like, it's like, if one person even gets like punched in the nut in this series, I would be surprised, because that would be like too much. I'm like, what did we just read that had someone getting
Chainsaw Man?
Yeah. It was so funny. Yeah. I want to actually go back to like the Vegas, like where you're mentioning like things that
Before you go back, are you telling me you didn't like this guy?
I liked him, but he is meant to be gross. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, you're drawing a big, open-shirted, fat dude with, like, a hairy chest, and it's like, this is the most disgusting thing I can draw, because that's the
beautiful pecs.
That's where that artist is coming from. Like,
kissable
I get it.
Lips.
I will say his kissable chest hair lips. Looks amazing.
Chest hair does look amazing.
Yeah.
So you were getting Chris slowly on the side. But what were you going to say, Christopher?
Sorry.
But, like, so you think about Fist of the North Star as this, like, text that we haven't read on you know, Devin, David, and I've obviously read it, and David especially, but we haven't read on podcast, so it's not technically in our continuity for people listening at home. But Fist of the North Star was this like really important manga in the 80s in Shonen Jump, super influential, but it fell out of sort of fashion, and the things that it influenced, like this, like JoJo's, like that first volume of JoJo's is like cut. You know, someone trying to chisel Fist of the North Star from a different kind of material. You know what I mean? Araki Setsu's artwork has changed so much since those first volumes. And there was so much stuff like it that came out after Fist of the North Star because it was so influential. And it's not to say that Fist of the North Star didn't have its influences as well, obviously. But yeah, like, this is clearly, the things that you're mentioning are all clearly descendant of this, like, macho 80s Shonen Jump style of like over the top manga that has been that was like started to be replaced with Dragon Ball Z and then was completely replaced by like the Naruto One Piece Bleach generation with like much, much prettier, less, less grotesque. And I mean, maybe Luffy's grotesque in the way that you were talking about, but like,
he's like a cute grotesque.
And I see that. I see this as like very much, it's so fascinating that Chip is like, this is such a breath of fresh air. Cause I think it is in some ways, but it's also such a part of that school of manga making and manga thought, and not in a bad way. Like, again, like I don't think that there's anything from my perspective to recommend this manga other than it is endlessly creative in how it murders people and occasionally funny in doing so. But like, I don't think that there's more there, and maybe it's a, you just have to be like, if you're in the mood for this, you're in the mood for it. Yeah.
More in what sense? Like a, I don't want to like say we read manga. That sounds so condescending.
But yeah. Like what more could anyone possibly need? I don't know, Deb, what more could you possibly need from a manga than a dude putting his lips up to the ear of another dude and blowing until his brains splatter out the other side? Like, that's creative and like fascinating and actually really interestingly drawn. Like, it's, we'll throw that in the show notes too. Like, it's, there's a high degree of craft here, but there's, for me, I don't feel anything else. Like, there's not anything like even like Vagabond or Lone Wolf and Cub where there's like a deeper understanding of honor or the human psyche or like responsibility or like, you know, you're saying in the intro that it's like, you know, non-toxic masculinity, and it's about like, you know, that. And I'm like, I don't see it. Like, I literally can't see it in this. Like, in the first two volumes of the second series.
Yeah, I do think that comes over time. And in terms of themes, it's still very thin. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But like the feature, the star of the show is definitely the craft. Like the drawings, the just the sheer. There's one volume where a guy regurgitates a grenade as part of his fighting style later on. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's like that's, come on, dude.
And here's the thing. It really is.
Yeah.
I think you were right. The Rob Liefeld of manga. Like, it's just like pure energy and dynamicism. Obviously cranked up to like 13. Like, if Rob Liefeld's a 10 on that scale in American comics, this is like higher and higher and higher and pushing it further and further and further. And that's great, but like, no one's going to be accused of Rob Liefeld comic of having important things to say about anything.
But so, storytelling wise, what did you think? Like, is it clear? Does it? How do you think about it in that sense?
It's interesting. I think it is super clear. There's not one thing that I couldn't tell, one moment that I couldn't tell exactly what was going on. But I think the author has a weird over reliance on either full on, like stuff like this. Like full on, like
a Usual Suspects kind of lineup.
Full body, full on looking directly at the person or perfectly in profile. I feel like he's really good at drawing characters interacting with each other and punching and like the sort of close up grotesquery. But there's a scene where a dude's in a prison cell sitting at a table and it's a 3/4 overhead perspective and it just looks awkward a little bit to me. So, but like, I kind of don't care either because it's like, he's clearly getting across what he needs to get across. And the things that he likes drawing, he's so good at. So it doesn't bother me at all. But since you asked, like, I do think that, yeah, there's stuff he's good at drawing and likes to draw. And there's stuff he's not. Like when he has to draw these like teens that don't have outrageous physiques, they kind of look like they're drawing with his left hand. And then like you get the 10-foot tall monster guy coming in behind them. And he looks like he's so fully realized he's from a different manga.
Yeah.
And that's like an effect. That's like a chosen effect. And I love it. I actually really love it.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Deb.
I was going to say like another artist that comes to mind is Richard Corbin.
Oh yeah. It's very din, I think was the one.
Yeah. The very well established, you know, muscles and stuff like that.
Tough guy comics. Tough guy wandering around fighting people.
Speaking of, I'm like wrestling two cats to the ground now.
See, Baki was good research.
Yeah, they are like my two battle cats. or they just wrestle all the time. Yeah, it's not Baki. But it's got that energy.
Yeah, I
loved what you said about your Fujoshi spirit kind of bouncing off this a little bit, because there is a drama which has the amazing title of The Chronicle of a Maiden Who Continued to Think that Grappler Baki is BL.
Of course there is.
I don't think it's translated.
That's a lonely, lonely shit, boy.
Wow.
There's news on Crunchyroll about it. It says an upcoming live-action TV drama based on the essay manga by sociologist Junko Kaneda about a woman who labors under the idea that Keisuke Itagaki's violent martial arts manga Baki is actually a Tinder boy's love story. So I really want to see this, I think. It's so weird.
Kind of don't blame
that. That sounds more interesting.
Yeah. And that's
more interesting than this, actually.
I was glad to see there's kind of like a joking take on this. It's also official because like this is, it's goofy, but it's very serious, right? Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's serious about stupid, to borrow a phrase from a friend, in a, like a very good way. And Fist of the North Star, very similar, like very, very serious about like its macho kung fu philosophy. But all the spinoff material for these stuff, or I guess several different spinoff materials for these things, like are just straight up parodies or like goofball takes on the real thing.
Yeah.
And I like that. I think it speaks to like the strength of the work, but also like the fact that the author's like, yeah, have fun with it. Like I had my fun. Here you go.
Yeah.
David, I want to ask you.
Yeah.
You invoked Raw Hero, or somebody did. I don't know if it was you or Chip. Chip invoked Raw Hero.
Yeah.
Raw Hero was self-aware. Raw Hero was making jokes, but it was very much in on it. Like it was like aware of the context in which it operated as a sort of, I mean, even the title Ready and Wet Hero, R-A-W. Do you think this is self-aware? Do you think that the people who were making this at the time that this was made, maybe now, with a, you know, BL, you know, look at it, you know, 20 years later, but when he was making this, do you think he was self-aware at all? Or do you think, yeah, and then this one, it's just going to be friggin' cool. Do you think this is the equivalent of smashing action figures together? Or do you think that he is aware of what he's doing and the context he's working in?
I think it's both. Like, he's definitely smashing action figures together. But, like, you can't draw a page like this with the guy crawling along the ground in a straitjacket and not be, like, a little bit self-aware, you know? Like, it escalates to such a ludicrous extent so quickly. Like, the first chapter is an entire classroom of people who are terrified of Baki, who's just in there chilling with, like, two broken arms. And no one gets what's going on.
They don't even know why, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, like, the dumbest thing, but it's so good, too, in terms of, like, setting the stage for this universe.
Yeah.
First chapter called Synchronicity, by the way. Yeah, I would say not as self-aware as Raw Hero. I think, actually, Raw Hero is probably more dramatic irony is what I feel from our hero.
Yeah.
Where we can kind of see the gap between what's happening and like maybe the main character can't. But this is so earnest.
Yeah. That
it feels like it's exactly what they meant it to be, if that answers your question.
And I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually agree with a lot of your taste.
It's so funny. I usually bounce off earnestness when it's like to do with love or like kind of positive emotions. But I love earnestness when it comes to things that are just gross.
Anything where it's like, we talked so much about people who love to draw on this podcast. Like when you read a manga by like Taiyo Matsumoto or someone like that, where it's just like making marks, like I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah.
Jiro Taniguchi, I think the same thing. Like you just feel the energy on the page. And even if the story isn't there, the storytelling might still be there.
Yeah.
And I think those are often two different things.
Yeah.
And this, I feel like this dude loves to draw. I think, I don't think we've encountered a comic book that was more somebody doing exactly what they wanted to do at all times.
What they were put on this earth to do.
than new Baki, new Grappler Baki, whatever this particular volume is called.
Yeah.
Well, so like when you compare it to like All-Rounder Meguru, right? Which was very, very dedicated to real combat, real physics. Real human anatomy.
Characters having interiority.
Yeah. And this is like
boring. Nope.
Nope. Actually, this does make all around Omega look unforgivably boring.
It does.
But Deb, I missed the last bit of your part about all-rounder Meguru, like in comparison to this. Do you think they're trying to do similar things?
There's a thing about like the protagonist is a young boy, right, who is pretty good at what he does, almost from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he deals with a succession of people who are older than him who want to take him down. And he seems, in Meguru, he's like, yeah, I'm just doing this because it's kind of neat, huh? Like, he doesn't have that passion for, like, I'm going to be the very best, right? He's like, I'm going to fight. Fighting's fun. I'm digging it. And then his, you know, his arch enemy is one like, I can't stand how casual you are about this, right?
Yeah.
So, but this one is like, Bin Baki's super casual about it, right? Like, his father's just telling him that the five most dangerous, awful, seemingly unkillable people in the world are headed to Japan, and they are going to kill you. Or they want to kill you, or they want to fight you at the very least. And, you know, Baki's kind of like, dude, cool. It's like, okay. Like, there's no sense of dread at all about it.
Very 90s Keanu.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the way, like, people go, like the weather report's saying there's going to be this giant hurricane coming. And people, like, some people run to the store and get cases of water and, like, buy everything non-perishable. And some people are like, I got a bottle of peanut butter in the jar in the cabinet and some bread and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
That was my mom, by the way, at the last hurricane. I said, Mom, are you okay? She's like, I have peanut butter.
She's basically Baki.
Yeah. Basically.
Baki. She don't care because we're in a valley so far away from the ocean. She knows.
Ain't nothing happening. Yeah, she's prepared.
Yeah,
anyway. I like it. No, thank you for that, because I think All-Rounder Meguru is almost, it's a martial arts comic in the way that this is like a scare quotes martial arts comic.
Yeah.
Because, like Deb was mentioning, and Christopher too, how people are just like busting out of death row, like shrugging off being electrocuted, and it all really just comes down to they're really good at martial arts. You know, they can slow their heartbeat or whatever nonsense. This is so much more of a cartoon, I think, where All-Rounder Meguru might be more of a TV show kind of approach.
Mm.
Nice. But that's like 40-something minutes on Grappler Baki.
We did it. Who knew?
Let's get some final thoughts. Christopher, tell us about this trash we just read.
I think if you like 90s cinema, like Ichi the Killer, Takeshi Miike, Korean New Wave kind of stuff, you're going to dig this. And I did. And it's just, you know, you got to be in the right headspace for it. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't see anything else there. Maybe you will. In fact, Ichi the Killer is another manga that was kind of like this and gross in the same way. And everyone was too scared to translate it at the time. Because, well, we're going to keep this episode slightly family friendly, despite my swears earlier. So. Yeah. Grappler Baki. I know that there's always another volume waiting for me, and that's a warm and comforting feeling.
Nice. And Deb, how about you? What are your final thoughts on Baki?
Well, I don't even know where to start. Props to this guy for having such a unique and distinct visual storytelling style and such a unique and distinct point of view on telling this type of story, where he's like, you know, like, I feel like sometimes with American comic books, no offense, Chip, but like they're kind of like tied to like, oh, is this physically possible? Is this scientifically sound? Is this within the realm of this person's abilities? Itagaki does not care. He is just having fun. Kind of like how in One Piece, you know, what's the limits of Luffy's stretchiness? We don't know. Only Ichiro's Oda's imagination and whatever the demands of the plot might be at that particular chapter. And that's okay. You know, it's okay for it to not make sense or for it to surprise you by being so, whoa, what? And that it in itself is entertaining. I don't know. I mean, I still find the way he draws distracting.
Yeah.
But I respect the sheer energy and originality that's going on here. Probably not going to read volume two unless you force me.
Next week on Manga Explaining.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But I'm glad we have this as a point of reference from now on.
Yeah, same.
It'd be amazing if the rest of the season, every time it's David's turn to pick, he just picked the next volume. Just every single time. Volume three, volume four.
We will
four.
Learn to like this.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Just you wait. I'll make you read Skip Beat.
Oh, man. The last season of Manga Explaining is going to be all conflict.
Yeah, it's going to be all spite picks.
Yeah.
Chip, how did you feel about Baki in the end?
I loved it. What Deb said about American comics is true, and I try to fight against it wherever I can. I think I mentioned on this podcast that I recently had Batman fall to Earth from the moon. And I tried to make it scientific. I consulted our friend Ryan North to give me like, oh, if it's like how many G's before you pass out and like how do you reverse this and do that, and like it's ludicrous. He cuts off his like trunks to put them over his face because his mask is cracking. Like it's all sorts of superhero nonsense. And it was the most fun I've had writing a comic in a while. And sure enough, there are people out there that are just like, oh, I hate this. Like Batman can't do that. And I was like, what? He's Batman. Yeah, he can. So yeah, I do take that point. I love this. Maybe it's because of that I love this, because I'm always having to push back against that kind of thing in my work, that when you see someone just kind of like unleash and just do whatever, it's totally fun. And yet there is no higher purpose to this. There's no themes. They're not digging into anything. But I think so much work is like that, especially nowadays. It's always a question that's kind of posed when a project is being considered. That is kind of a nice palate cleanser. It's weird that this is a palate cleanser. That this grotesquerie of violence could cleanse a palate, but I really feel like it. Like if you just finished reading, you know, Portrait of My Father, it's like, oh, I just need a palate cleanser. Like this is that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you gotta be in the mood for it, clearly. But I quite like it.
I love our manga explaining canon that we're coming up with. We're like, Jiro Taniguchi's on this side and Baki is on this opposite side.
Yeah. We do have some variety on this podcast. Yeah.
My final take is I agree with everyone on the podcast. I think all of you make some really good points. I think Chip's points are the goodest, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it is very much like story light, storytelling heavy, I would say. Like there's so much cool stuff going on. There's a guy that breaks glass with the vacuum in his palm, which is like Chip, it's like Batman falling from space.
Yeah.
But ludicrous. Probably the most ludicrous thing about this series is down the line, they introduce a slightly misspelled Muhammad Ali and his son Muhammad Ali Jr. for Baki to fight. And it becomes a whole love triangle thing with Baki's girlfriend and Muhammad Ali Jr. And it's like
amazing.
Maybe the most disrespectful and funny thing I've seen.
I know what this reminds me of. Colosseum.
Colosseum. Yeah, oh, yeah. Same genre. There's also Kengan Ashura. Like
with Putin on a tiger.
There's a whole host of battle manga like this that are different from tournament battle manga, which are a little bit shonen jumpy, I suppose.
Well, we read Regular Ragnarok, which was a tournament battle royale manga.
And oh, yeah,
was,
yeah.
That was grotesque, actually. The art was grotesque in almost exactly the same way, but like not to this degree, I think.
Yeah.
Dick Fight Island, too.
No, that art was beautiful. Those were beautiful.
No, I'm just saying
boys.
A tournament. It's a tournament.
No. Yeah. No, don't even don't sully this episode Dick Fight Island with this trash. It was beautiful.
Where the prostate was.
Higher purposes.
Yeah.
The next time I go to Japan, I'm going to engineer a Baki and Dick Fight Island crossover just for Christopher.
Yeah, thank you. I'm there. I'm totally there.
Yeah.
I found Rammstein doujinshi once, so I'm sure it's out there.
Really? Oh, yeah. Of the band members?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
I'll have
the world
to give it
is
to you.
Such a wide place. But we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about some more doujinshi and boys love stuff while we're out, and then come back to do some shout outs. We will see you in a bit.
Why might you want to learn a new language? For some of us on Manga Explaining, we use our knowledge of Japanese on the podcast to compare the English editions of manga to the Japanese. And honestly, reading more manga natively in Japanese, or bande dessinée in French, or webtoons in Korean, it's definitely a dream, and a great way to get there might be Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is a trusted language learning program available on desktop or as an app, and it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert in language learning for 30 years, with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone offers fast language acquisition, immersing you in a language with no English translations, an intuitive process, and it's designed for long-term retention. It uses true accent technology to give you feedback on your pronunciation, and it's convenient with desktop and smartphone app options for offline learning. It's also an amazing value, so don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Mongosplaining learners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. We're here to do some shout outs real fast. We're going to start with Deb. What do you have to shout out for us this week?
Well, thematically, since I was grousing about how little Fujoshi joy I was getting from Baki, I want to shout out a series I just started reading on Leizen called Jinx by Ming Hua. And it's about a top MMA fighter who he has this one hangup. In order to win, he has to have a very satisfying roll in the hay before his before his next fight. And he meets this personal trainer, physical therapist, who is very much smaller than him, but is very, very down on his luck. His grandmother is ill, she has cancer, and her treatment is costing him thousands of dollars. He has loan sharks coming after him. And so when he meets up with this world champion MMA fighter, who is super hot, by the way, he offers him $5,000 to come over late at night. He goes, okay, well, massage, okay, you know, physical therapy. No, aw. Anyway, the sheer over-the-top, I guess, sadism that's going on here in this relationship made me gasp. It's intense. There's a scene in the most recent chapter where he puts something around his manhood that makes his manhood even bigger and more bumpy.
Oh, and I've seen those at Don Quixote.
Ouch.
So it's just like Baki then.
It's like Baki, but cute, much prettier. So if you read Baki and thought, I don't know if I'd screw these guys, go read Jinx by Ming Hua. And tell me what you think.
I'm trying to imagine a naked Baki character, and like I kind of can't. Like they always have like the Ken doll like fake underwear.
Yeah, the legs would just
sort of connect directly into the torso and like a point. Like,
like they would just look like drawings. I don't know. God.
All right, who's next with their next shit out?
Yeah, Chip, what do you have?
I've been doing a lot of reading for work, some Batmans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. My beautiful wife and myself have been settling in the cold Canadian winter evenings and just rewatching episodes of The Good Wife.
Oh.
I don't know if any of you ever watched that show. It's a great series, and it's like there's something really satisfying about the done-in one. Like, you know, there's overarching stories, but it's just like there's a legal case every episode, and you think they're not going to win it. Guess what? They win it. And like you can just turn the episode off and be like, I have no tension left now. Perfect. go to bed happy. So yeah, I recommend it if you're looking for something. It's smart, it's funny, and it's light in a way.
Kind of goes off the rails in later seasons. Watch out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Christopher, how about you? What's your shout out this week?
I actually wanted to shout out. I was trying to think of what I wanted to shout out. And the last thing that I read was Tian Pham's book, Family Style. He serialized it, maybe just for friends. So maybe I'm not supposed to say anything, but friends and family on Facebook, a page at a time. And so I've been reading it now for, it feels like about a year, and it's finally coming out. It's coming out June 20th. It's the story of being a first-generation immigrant to the United States, and it's really good, really, really good. And yeah, I think it's going to be a real big book when it comes out. It's got a beautiful cover, too. I actually just seeing the cover for the first time now, a beautiful bowl of noodles. Yeah, Tian Pham Family Style. Check that out when it comes out this June. Deb, you said you just saw it at ALA?
Yeah, so the unique thing about this book is Tian used to do, he's a big foodie. He loves food. He always brings a box of Popeye's chicken to all my barbecues.
Go to your barbecues.
So every chapter in the book is centered around a memorable meal that he had that makes him remember a certain moment in his life. Like he remembers when he and his mother and father were on a boat escaping Vietnam before they get to the refugee camp. They're attacked by pirates. And he remembers the handful of cooked rice that his mom gave him that saved for him in her pocket. Like he remembers it tasting really, really good. He remembers the first Salisbury steak he has at school lunch when he moves to San Jose. So everything is centered around a particular meal, but it's also very heartfelt.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it looks great. I was just looking at sample pages online.
Yeah, I was looking at his hourly comics, and I was surprised to see a donut shop that's in my neighborhood. We might be neighbors, actually.
Oh, hey, nice.
Man.
David, what's your shout out?
This leaves me, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I introduced my picks for this season of Manga Explaining by calling them Violence Hell, kind of the series of books that I'm recommending. Because there's like a specific type of book that I like, or story, rather, I like a lot, and can consume almost endlessly as long as it's, you know, like baseline quality. And today I saw a trailer for a movie called The Covenant, which was directed by Guy Ritchie, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, who has somehow turned into one of my favorite actors over the past few years. Mm-hmm. I think I mentioned, I loved Ambulance, Michael Bay's movie last year. There's something about Jake Gyllenhaal where when he's on the screen, I'm like, oh, this guy's the best ever. And then, you know, when the movie's over, I'm like, okay, he's pretty good, but he's not the best. But like, he might be one of the best ever.
Wow.
And in The Covenant, it's essentially, he's an army sergeant who was in Afghanistan for the U.S. Army. They were ambushed. He was rescued by an interpreter that was along with them. And he made it back to the States, and the interpreter is in trouble back in Afghanistan. So it's Jake Gyllenhaal basically saying, like, this guy saved my life. Like, I can't leave him in danger. Like, I owe him my life, essentially. Like, I should be the one in the hole. So it's him trying to get back to Afghanistan and rescue this guy. And like, war on terror movies are kind of hit or miss, but I trust Guy Ritchie and I trust Jake Gyllenhaal a great deal. And the trailer was really good. It was very much up my alley. It's very much a Violence Hell kind of movie where a guy throws his life away to save someone else. So if you like those kind of movies, that kind of story, check it out. Looks like a good time.
I'm just looking at it online right now in the cast list. Anthony Starr's in it. Homelander from The Boys.
He is so good.
He's amazing on that show. So, and I've never seen him anything else. So yeah, I'm going to check this out.
And Alexander Ludvig, I think, was Bjorn in Vikings. He's huge. Like, he actually looks like he should have been, you know, a Viking in real life. It looks like a good time.
Sorry, this is like a shout out attached to your shout out. But if you like Jake Gyllenhaal, did you watch the Sack Lunch Bunch, the John Mulaney special?
No.
It's like a special he did where it's like a kid's special, but like weird and twisted. And Jake Gyllenhaal plays like some guy, like the music man or whatever, comes out and just sings this insane song. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah, I will. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. So
I gotta watch movies one of these days.
That actually is weird. That's the first thing you've recommended that's a TV show that I've seen is The Good Wife and Sack Lunch Bunch today.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a little weird, actually. Like, wow.
More or less weird than you and Chip both reading the same book around the same time with Les in your book club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh. Hey, yeah.
Because I just edited that episode.
Did you finish reading that, Chris?
Finish reading what? Les? No, I haven't read it. I flaked. Sorry. We had to go back to, I had to go back to Japan for an emergency suite of meetings. Okay. So I actually missed book club and didn't read the book. No synchronicity at all. No synchronicity at all.
For shame. Martial arts are super low this week. But all right, we're going to call it a week. We will see you next week with more manga to be explained. Are we still doing that?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
I think we are.
Yeah. All right, we're going to leave it in. Yeah. All right, thank y'all for listening. This has been Mangasplaining Episode 90, Baki by Keisuke Itagaki. Thanks for listening. Our next episode is a small event, the Tokyo Scope Crossover Special. You can follow along with our complete reading list at mangasplaining.com and check out our newsletter and digital publishing endeavor at mangasplainingextra.com. Thanks to DADS for the musical accompaniment this episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get everything you need for your next project today at Menards and save big money. LP SmartSide products are the number one brand of engineered wood siding. SmartSide Trim and Siding offers long-lasting performance and delivers the warmth and beauty of traditional wood. Save big money today at Menards and LP SmartSide products. Plus, visit Menards.com to view the weekly flyer and check out all of our great deals happening this week. Save big money.